John Adams declared, "We are a nation of laws, not men." And that's a wonderful thing. But the Roman historian Tacitus observed, "The more corrupt a society, the more numerous its laws." Cato's Center for Constitutional Studies is devoted to stopping the corruption of our legal system. Court TV's Catherine Cryer, herself an attorney, former judge, network commentator, and author, agrees it's an important mission. In a speech at a Cato Book Forum, she told her audience that we have become a nation of lawsuits rather than laws, where predatory tort lawyers are growing fat, feeding on the flesh of justice and common sense.
We start with the premise that we have abdicated, I suggest, a lot of the self-governance that was intended in a democracy to government, which I think we can all concede, and unfortunately thereby to the lawyers. So, what has happened then to our government? Because I suggest it is not the rule of law, but a government of laws. That is the way it operates. What does our legislature do? It passes laws. That's how it acts. So how are they doing in that regard? Well, first, the rule of law was not intended to supplant community standards. So a lot of laws are now enacted that are sociological in nature and by their very nature are very difficult to enforce and should not, in many respects, be on the books. Secondly, the law must be known. I mean, ignorance of the law is no excuse is a great saying, but in fact, if it's impossible to know the law, then maybe ignorance should be an excuse. Well, the law should be fair. Is the law fair? Well, it's not. A smoker in this country can get $28 billion. A drug addict can get life in prison. You know, both of them are addicts who say they can't kick a habit. I think that's a bit unfair. I think that white-collar shysters, if you will, can rake in millions. In fact, we're learning billions. And, yeah, get a little probation, maybe a stint in Club Fed. The eyes are on Washington right now with Enron and WorldCom. We'll see where those prosecutions go and what results. But you get a petty thief doing serious time. We've got a three strikes and you're out where you'll put a guy who's burgled a couple of garages, toss in a theft from a grocery store, and you could be doing life in prison. Doesn't make sense. The law should be reasonable. It's not. We love all the warning labels. The University of Michigan that does its wacky warning label competition, I'm sure all of you have read those. Things like a 13-inch wheel that goes on a wheelbarrow says not intended for highway use. Yeah, you love all of these you can go through. My favorite, though, was the baby stroller that has a note on it, please remove child before folding. There's a new law. Actually, I do a Court TV legal minute every day. And a couple of days ago, there was one from Bend, Oregon, where the Transportation Division decided that they're going to pass a smell law. Now, I can understand there are many of us who don't really like standing next to somebody who needs a shower, but in fact, if you smell bad or if you exude other gaseous material, et cetera, you can be asked to leave the bus. And it is legal. It is a law now. So who's going to monitor that? You know, whose nose are we going to rely on when it comes to enforcing that law? I'm not really sure, but I'm not going to Bend, Oregon. All right, well, the law should also compensate for legitimate injury in this country, and it does not. If you're exposed to asbestos at any point in time, call that 1-800 number. You don't have to be sick. You don't have to show any symptoms, but you can now recover. And the asbestos litigation, we know, has funded everything that has come since in these major class actions or, you know, the tobacco cases, the HMO cases, the gun cases on down the road. There are people who are seriously ill who are now finding the companies are bankrupt and they cannot collect while those who've never exhibited a symptom are, in fact, doing so. What about the hacker who was able to suggest there was a problem with some software that Toshiba was using in their laptops? They were never able to replicate that in a laboratory. No consumer had ever complained of that. They were awarded millions. The hacker got millions. Of course, then what do you do immediately? You go after all the other computer companies and start suing them. So this is compensation for an injury that has never occurred again in the business community. So let's see. Why not testify to what your loved one felt just before the car crash or automobile crash? Sounds unreal. How in the world do we know? Huh? It's recoverable. This is absurd, absolutely absurd. Well, the law should allow for just compensation. It shouldn't unduly enrich people. We know now that the courts are often a great lottery, right? You know, if you get the right jury, you're going to get $28 billion for that cigarette habit you can't kick. If you got the wrong jury, you're tossed out of court, at least according to the plaintiff's lawyers. I have a real problem with the notion that punitive damages that are supposed to compensate society for the wrongs done by an industry or an individual or a corporation, in fact, is handed over to one lucky winner who happened to get the right jury at the right time. They have gone through the stratosphere. I don't know when the last time I saw a lawsuit that was filed with requesting less than about $10 million, and that's chump change nowadays. It's absolutely extraordinary, the valuation we are giving individuals. And why is this happening? Part of it is contingency fees. Once upon a time, contingency fees were intended for the poor who couldn't afford lawyers, people who really needed to give away part of a potential recovery to get representation. Now, the lawyers are not only partners in those kinds of cases, but virtually everything from business deals, you know, major business litigation across the board, contingency fees now are the norm rather than the exception. And what are we doing? 30% used to be outrageous. 40% is not uncommon nowadays. Why don't we go to England? They don't allow contingency fees. I think that's appropriate. But with the caveat, let's use them for what they were intended. If you can come in and show the financial inability to hire a lawyer, we could certainly keep them for those individuals. But other than that, they should go. These insane class actions that we're seeing growing right and left should be brought back to what class actions were intended. And that means if all of us were in the same accident, you know, it's got the same injuries, we can come together to save money for both sides, bring it as a class action. But you don't go out and say, well, we found that MasterCard overcharged by 2 cents a person, and we're going to put out a class action to recover for this. And of course, you don't have to opt out now. You're in. I'm going to litigate your rights, whether you want them litigated or not. And, of course, what I might then get is a coupon that says, you know, you can go get a free Coke in exchange for your rights. But I, the lawyer, am going to make a fortune off of that litigation. Well, it's an abuse of the process. That is something that can be compensated immediately by rewriting the laws back to what class actions were intended to be.